Monster Energy Welcome to Rockville returns to Metropolitan Park April 29th and 30th, celebrating rock's greatest hits all weekend long with Def Leppard, Soundgarden, A Perfect Circle, The Offspring, and more. 2 days, over 40 bands on 3 stages. Tickets on sale now. Go to WelcomeToRockvilleFestival.com for tickets, info, and more. Welcome to Rockville, fueled by Monster Energy Drink.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining a Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we've got a special guest for you. We're joined by Matt Fink. Matt is of the band The Revolution. Matt, how's it going?
Very good, thanks.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show.
Yes, you're welcome. My pleasure.
I'm super excited. Today. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm super excited to talk with you. You guys, The Revolution, is gearing up for a tour, and I guess it will be your first tour without Prince. Tell me how you're feeling and what prompted this tour.
Well, we're all feeling still, very, very sad and upset about losing him to the world, of course, of music, and to the world itself. And we really would like to express our condolences to all our fans, and that we're coming out again to perform the music for the fans, and also for ourselves, in order to create a healing experience for everybody, including ourselves. And also, it's something that is also manifesting itself, because we had already been talking to Prince off and on in the last couple of years about a possible reunion, and he was open to it. I personally had a conversation with him back in the fall of 2014 about this subject too. So, and he brought it up to me. I did not initiate that conversation. So, I think if this hadn't happened, you would have seen a reunion with him probably within the next year. I think that would have come to fruition.
Absolutely. Yeah. How is your relationship with Prince? Can you describe, what it was like?
Well, it was really good, throughout the 12 years I worked with him. Just like any relationship with somebody who's the leader of something like he was and a perfectionist, there could be moments of not necessarily disagreement, but where maybe he felt, hey, you're not holding up the end of the bargain here today, kid. You gotta carry your weight a little further on this one, or you're not, I tended to be at times, I could be, I wouldn't say lazy, but, there were a couple moments when I would show up to rehearsal not prepared, and that was one of his pet peeves. If you came in and you didn't quite know the song well enough for that day, if we had to be working on something, and that was a big issue. So I learned that I just needed to work harder. And that's what he drove all of us to do, was to be perfectionists in our own right and to keep up with him, because he was the ultimate in dedication to his own craft. He was a 24/7 music writer and music worker, and enjoyed every moment of it. He couldn't turn off the spigot of creativity, let's put it that way. So, you had to join in the party and be there with him as an equal partner.
Absolutely.
That's how it worked. Mm-hmm.
What would you say was your favorite album that you worked on with Prince and the Revolution?
Wow. You put me on the spot, but a lot of interviewers will ask that question. They ask that when they want to know what's the favorite song or what your favorite album was and all that. That's a difficult question, I think, for all of us in particular. But you know, Purple Rain, of course, was the penultimate moment in his career, I would say, even though he had, you know, continued success beyond that. We all know that that was his largest selling record and catapulted him into international superstardom. So, yeah, you know, probably working on that one was one of my favorites, and it also was the most material that the band, you know, got to work on with him over time.
Absolutely, absolutely. You've toured so much over the years, and I know that, you know, there's probably a part of touring that, you know, can be kind of nerve-wracking. But what would you say that you enjoy the most about touring?
What do I enjoy the most?
Yes.
Okay. I have to think about that a little bit because there are several aspects of it, but I'll just kind of try to put them in order if I can. I used to really enjoy flying. Not so much now. It's getting to be a little more tedious. But I will tell you that now that they have the TSA pre-check option where you pay, you know, $80 for a 5-year pass to go through security much quicker, that I do like. That helped a lot. Once they implemented that, I latched onto it immediately and got myself a TSA pre-check, and now, you know, it's a breeze getting through security. I really like that part of it, so that makes life easier. I enjoy meeting the people and the fans. You know, being on tour, I do enjoy that part of it quite a bit. And hooking up with people I already know, you know, from city to city, I have a lot of friends that I've established across the United States and even in Europe as well. And in, even, believe it or not, a few people in Australia. You know, I've been over to Australia a few years ago and did some performances there without the Revolution, and that was a lot of fun. But I do enjoy different parts of the U.S. and all those things that are happening in the U.S. I just like the diversity of our country and meeting different people. Really enjoy that quite a bit. I love the big cities of the United States, you know, New York and everything along the East Coast there and the West Coast. And any of the major centers, you know, throughout the U.S. are a lot of fun to visit. I enjoy that. And while I'm out, you know, if I have spare time, I'll take in a local museum or, you know, other cultural aspects on a day off. I really enjoy doing that. I'll go out and see other musicians play. If I'm in New York, I'll go see a Broadway show, you know, that kind of stuff. I take advantage of being in that location in order to take in the culture that can be found in those areas. So, that's the one advantage of travel and being, you know, in different parts of the country.
Absolutely, absolutely. You've been involved with the music industry for so long, and, you know, you've worked with some incredible musicians, including Prince. What is your honest opinion on the music industry today? I mean, I know that it's changed so much over the years. How do you feel about the music industry today?
Well, the music industry is doing pretty well. The major labels are still doing pretty well, and they're involved with the big music streaming services now, like Spotify and Apple Tunes and Amazon and various others. And I could go on about how many there are. And it just so happens that it's creating a healthy environment for those companies. It's not creating as healthy an environment for the artists. And right now they're going to be trying to, the ones at least on the major labels, are going to be trying to renegotiate what those streaming services pay out to the artists. so that they're going to be treated more fairly. I'm hoping that they'll succeed in that. I coincidentally happen to be working with a startup company here at in Minneapolis. It's called My Music, which is just launching as we speak this month over in Asian countries, including China. And this is a streaming service like Spotify. And then it will be launching in the United States later this year. So I helped to develop this particular streaming service. And we're going to be catering to the independent artist specifically and the unsigned artist. You know, signed independents and unsigned artists. We won't be dealing with major labels to begin with because of the kind of money that they want to charge, you know, for licensing fees, which does make it difficult for the big players like Spotify to make a profit. However, you know, we're going to be involved and make it so that unsigned artists will have a great place to promote their music and also obtain a better revenue stream. And it'll be a subscription service, too, you know, where you can pay a monthly fee or you can do it as a free service as well with ad-based situation like other services. But there'll be more to it than that. There's other aspects of the service that we're going to be launching that will be different from some of these other companies.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Oh, yes. I'm encouraging a lot of people to sign up, and a lot of artists. In fact, we're sending emails out, and we'll be advertising, marketing the new service very quickly here. But anyway, sorry, go ahead.
I'm excited. I mean, you definitely, wet my appetite. That's awesome. You said, is it launching later this month, or?
Well, currently, the website is up. It's called, you know, mymymusic.com. And artists and listeners can go there now and sign up. And artists in particular, we want to go in there and upload their material and become members. It's absolutely free. So we're just trying to, you know, we're just in the early stages of it and trying to raise awareness about the new service.
Very nice, very nice.
Yeah.
What other projects are you currently working on that you can tell us about?
Well, within that company, I have also helped to develop their audio product line, which is being sold primarily overseas right now. It will come into the U.S. at some point, but that particular division, which is called MobileSoft, has a full line of Bluetooth audio products in the way of speakers and headphones and also wired, you know, headphones and earbuds. But they also carry a new cell phone and tablet and watch, like smartphones, you know. But these are based on the Android chipset that runs that. Those systems are not, you know, Apple-based or anything like that. And I'm not really involved in the phone side of things so much, but totally on the audio. I developed the whole product line for them as well. Same company that's developing the My Music platform.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, that's eventually, awesome. Eventually, you'll be able to buy some of those audio products through the My Music site.
That sounds awesome. I wanted to also ask you, and I was meaning to ask you this earlier, but with the Revolution getting back together to launch this tour next Friday, is there any plans for an album to be released soon?
For an album?
Yes, sir.
Well, I believe Warner Brothers announced some sort of remastered version of Purple Rain. Am I correct?
That is correct. Mm-hmm.
You're aware of that? I'm trying to remember exactly what they were planning on doing. Were they planning on putting some unreleased material in there when they made that announcement?
Uh-huh.
It's a rumor. It's a rumor. Okay. I didn't know if they officially announced it, because I've been so busy I haven't always seen those press releases when they come out. So what do you know about it? You may know more than me right now. What
have
they said?
What do you know? Okay. I've heard that the artwork is going to be remastered. There's going to be some unreleased songs that were, I guess, just demos that, like, you guys had recorded as a group,
okay.
but that had never been, you know, that had never, you know, made it to album, so to speak. And I forget when they said it would be released. I think sometime this year. I'm trying to remember, but I don't, with the demo and the unreleased tracks, I don't think, I don't know that was really, I think that was more of like a rumor, like I don't know that it was ever really confirmed.
Okay. Well, if you saw whatever you saw, that would be their official announcements of what they're planning to release. So I really don't know more than you at the moment.
Gotcha.
I think the Revolution will be discussing this further as it is developed with Warner Brothers. But I do know about the release of the remastered Purple Rain album. For sure.
They're saying that it'll probably drop in June.
Okay. It'll drop in June. Yeah. Sounds good. Sounds good to me. Yeah.
What do you enjoy the most about the recording process? Because I know that recording music can be quite arduous sometimes. You know, there's all these these factors, you know, that you try to plan for, but, you know, at times it can just be, you know, it can be kind of a crazy scenario. But what do you love most about the recording process and making music?
Oh, boy. Everything about it is just enjoyable, because it's, you know, you're being creative. It's just like being a painter. You know, your palette is, you know, the recording tape or the recording medium of, now it's digital, of course. You're recording to hard drives all the time. You're not using tape anymore, unless you want to use old reel-to-reel machines, which, you know, will impart a wonderful, you know, vibe to your music, especially for live drums. I won't get into the technical aspects as to why that is unless you're an engineer, but the old reel-to-reel, the big 2-inch 24-track machines have a specific way of coloring live instruments, and especially drums. So some engineers will still use those big machines. They'll record the drums live, and then they'll bounce that over to the digital format, so it's all in there, but it'll still retain that flavor that was on there by the using analog tape recording. So there's that thing. But as far as the creative process, I personally really enjoy these days working with young artists and emerging artists and helping them develop their sound and, you know, giving advice and playing on their material or helping them arrange, you know, those kinds of things, of being a teacher, mentor in some respects for artists. And then, you know, of course, even if a really experienced artist comes my way and they want to come in the studio and be produced, and, you know, they still need advice. They still need guidance. They need opinions and arrangement ideas, you know, anything. And then you've got some people that come in and they want to produce themselves, and you just sit back and be the engineer and let them do what they want because they don't want to give you any control. So it really varies from client to client. And working in the studio with people, you know, if you're working for yourself, that's one thing. If you're writing for your own enjoyment, then you don't have to answer to anybody, and can do whatever you want, and that freedom is always a wonderful thing. And obviously, you know, that's how Prince lived by that philosophy, and never had anybody producing him really until very late in his career. I believe one of his last albums, he had somebody on a Third Eye Girl record help produce it. Am I correct?
Yep, that is right.
Someone named Josh, I think. Josh was his name.
I think so. I'd have to.
Yeah, I think it was the drummer from Third Eye Girl's husband who was involved. I could be wrong about that. Maybe it was a different guy. I think I'm wrong, but he did have an outside producer helping him with his last record.
Why did do you know why he decided to, I guess, break his rule for that one record? Was he just wanting to try?
Why he wanted to try an outside producer? I have no idea. I really don't know what he's thinking. I don't know. Don't have a clue. you know, we weren't. I wasn't communicating with him as much as I would like to have over the years. But you know, I would have my occasional meetings with him just to catch up on things and talk, just see what's going on with each other. But he never would really reveal that sort of information to me or anybody as to maybe why he decided to do something like that. So, yeah, don't know.
Absolutely. Speaking of artists that you said you work with a lot of artists. Which of today's artists would you love to collaborate with that you haven't had a chance to yet?
Which artist would I like to collaborate with?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sorry, it was breaking up there for a second. You know, there are some older, like, legacy, what I like to call legacy artists that I would have liked to have worked with that maybe, you know, aren't here anymore. You know, people like James Brown or Jimi Hendrix or even the Beatles, for that matter, or anybody in the Beatles camp would have been great to be able to collaborate with or work on, even just as a session player on a record, or Led Zeppelin. You know, I love all the classical big rock artists that were around when I was growing up. David Bowie, Frank Zappa. I was a big fan of Frank Zappa's, by the way. I really enjoyed listening to a lot of fusion keyboard players who were a big influence on me growing up. Who could I mention? Herbie Hancock, Chick Corea, Joe Zawinul from Weather Report, people like that.
Oh, man, you're going way back now.
You know, well, I go way back because, you know, that's what I grew up with. I saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan on their debut when I was 6 years old. I just turned six the day before, and they debuted in the United States on Ed Sullivan in front of everybody in the United States, because that's what everybody watched on Sunday evening, every weekend. You know, the whole nation was glued to that show.
So
it was a huge influence on me. When they hit the airwaves, and then that was it. I was off and running as far as being interested in the music business, even at that young of an age, because by the time I was 12, I was already playing in my first band.
Wow. I had no idea you'd started so early.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That is true, and when I auditioned for Prince, I was 20, and same age as Prince. We were both the exact same age. I was a few months older than him, but we were both born same year and same era, and we grew up with all those same influences from the music business.
Man, that is crazy.
Yeah. Now, I mean, if you wanted to say, who would I want to work with now from people who are out there now, I think it would be really fun to collaborate with some of the, you know, the there's quite a few synth pop artists out there these days, some newer ones that I really like that are out there. And I really like people like Kendrick Lamar now, and I like Drake and people like that. You know, I like, you know, the fact that D'Angelo came back with such a strong album. You know, he's somebody I would like to work with, I think. I'd like to work with The Roots, if I could, you know.
Absolutely.
I love Questlove. I love Questlove. He's really been a big friend to the Revolution. And there's another artist by the name of Travis Scott, who I like as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So people like that I really like, you know, that are current and would love to collaborate with in some way, shape, or form.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Who would you credit, I guess, with your success, like your musical success? I know that, you started at the age of 12. Who fostered, I guess, your love of music, and who would you say, I guess, really helped you to be the successful musician that you are today?
Oh, I'd have to say definitely my parents, who gave me my start in it, who said, "Hey, you want to take piano lessons?" And of course, my brother was older than me, 3 years older. He was already taking lessons, and then I was a little bit jealous of it because he was doing it. I was kind of young and watching him. You know, I'd be like 4 years old, and he was 7, starting out playing, or even 6. I think he started when he was about 6. So I was pretty young. I was a little too young maybe to start at that time. So I when it came time to me being old enough, my parents said, "Well, it's your turn now. Do you want to start piano lessons like your brother?" And I said, "Yeah, that looks like fun." So, I really got into it quickly, and even though it takes, you know, you have to practice, and it's like nobody wants to practice. You just want it to come easily, but it doesn't, so you have to work at it. And, when I look back on the whole time I was taking lessons and studying, I shifted to, I went through about 3 different teachers, 3 or 4 growing up, culminating in a really great jazz improv guy in my junior high and senior high years. And, you know, getting up to that level from classical music and then learning how to be an improvisational style artist like jazz players are, you know, that was a really interesting way to, you know, get into the pop music field, because then you know if you're going to try to write, that improvisational aspect and knowing all your chords and scales, it makes it that much easier to be able to sit in on a jam session with someone like Prince, and who's also very self-taught but learned a lot from his father, obviously, who was a great musician. But Prince wasn't really much of a reader, whereas I was, because I studied classical growing up and could read, and then later had to learn to, you know, read jazz charts and all that stuff. But Prince knew enough theory. He knew all that. But he was really an ear player more than anything. And it just flowed out of him naturally, like a lot of musicians. And anyway, I don't know where I'm going with all this. Just that, you know, growing up, learning, evolving, you know, it's all part of part of becoming an artist, and those influences came from various places, like your teachers, and then your parents, who obviously, you know, give you the opportunity to learn, you know, present you with the opportunity. And not only did I have that influence in my life, I had both my parents were actors and had degrees in theater from the University of Minnesota, and they participated in local theater and were heavily involved with community theater and professional theaters here in the Twin Cities when I was growing up. So not only did I have the musical side, which they did as well, but I was involved acting as a kid and studying acting. One of the local theaters had a theater school here, which which was the Children's Theater Company of the Minneapolis Institute of Arts. So there was a lot of schooling there as well that I had an influence from.
Absolutely. Wow. So it's been like a journey for you, but yeah, you've had a lot of influence and years to really, you know, hone your skill, which is amazing.
Yeah, that is true.
with the tour rapidly approaching, what can fans expect? Will there be any surprise guests that you guys will be bringing out?
Yes, there will be. As time goes on, there will be some singers in different cities. You know, it'll vary from, you know, East Coast to West Coast and various locations. You'll particularly in L.A. and New York, you'll probably see some guests that come up because of just the nature of the entertainment industry hubs, you know, that they are. Those people will be more readily available. You know, there may be some people in different cities that, you know, where that's their home location and may request to come up and sit in on a couple songs. And as that evolves, you know, we will see who we want to do that with. It's just, I can't really say 100% at the moment who that'll be. But I know that will take place at some point.
I understand completely.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, now there was a gap between the time that the revolution ended and its, you know, its reunion now. What did you work on, you know, throughout the years that you had a break from the revolution?
Well, right after I left the revolution, or no, actually, I did not leave the revolution. I did stay on for four more years after the revolution was disbanded by Prince. So I became a member of the earliest version of the MPG and did the Sign of the Times tour, Love Sexy tour, Batman album, etc. You know, leading up through late 1990. So after I left the group, I became a staff record producer for a local record company here called KTEL, which I'm sure everybody's heard of because they used to, you know, do the Hooked on Classics records, amongst other things. So they had a whole wide range of music that they would release every year. So I was doing these specialty albums for them. About 5 years I worked with them and also other artists on the side. There were different people that were coming and going, and primarily local people in the Twin Cities here in Minneapolis. So I didn't work too much with people outside of Minneapolis, and a lot of independent artists who weren't, you know, necessarily signed to record deals. These were just people who remained independent, and, you know, quite a few amateur-type people who just wanted to do records and come in to the studio. There were also professionals as well, but primarily those kinds of people. But then, you know, as time went on, I did start to work with more international artists, and people were contacting me from outside the U.S., and I would do some things with them, and, you know, a mixture of things. Wide ranging.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah. Later, I got involved with. I did get involved with video game music as well for a while.
What?
Writing music.
No way.
Yeah, I did. I did a number of video games for a local company here called Head Games Publishing, and those were PC video games at the time, and this was back in '90. I'd say 97 through 2000, I did a run with that company. And then they got bought out by Activision out in Los Angeles.
Wow. That's so cool, though. Would you consider yourself a video game aficionado, or was it just something you kind of fell into?
Just fell into it through, there was another musician doing some music for them, and they needed a studio to record live drums for one of their video games. And then when the president of the company came over, he met me, and then he realized, maybe I should tap into this guy for some stuff. So I ended up working on some stuff for him as well. And so, you know, just networking that way. And then later on, I did a whole run of slot machine video games for casinos all across the U.S. and international use for another company based here in Minneapolis called King Show Games. And I worked for them for several years as well, doing their sound effects and music.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, that is...
Yeah, anything for a buck, right?
right. No, that's what I was going to say.
No, but very interesting, you know, and I've done some soundtrack work here and there for, you know, documentary films and, you know, a few things for PBS, you know, PBS TV, local stuff. But, yeah. Been fun.
Man,
jingles.
Awesome.
You know, occasionally I'll get a jingle in here once in a while.
that's funny. You mentioned jingles. Like, one of my favorite shows is, like, Two and a Half Men. And, he does jingles.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, this has been awesome talking to you. Thank you so much. I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to open the floor if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
Is there anything I'd like to say?
Yes, sir.
I hope we get to see you all at the shows coming up this year. Whoever's listening, you know, when we come to your city, I hope we see you. There may be some meet and greets at some of these events as time allows. And we'll be meeting with the fans, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Very nice, very nice. And, Matt, where can our listening audience find out more about the Revolution and keep abreast of what you guys are working on?
Best thing is to go to the Revolution's Facebook page, and that's where you'll see the touring schedule. And each band member may have things posted on their sites, their fan sites. Each band member has their own Facebook pages, and I do have a Dr. Fink fan page now on Facebook. Unfortunately, my personal page, which I was keeping since 2006, is at the limit of who you can have on there, like the 5,000 number.
Oh, man.
That's all they allow, unfortunately. So I keep directing people to the fan page, although once in a while I will shift people around a little bit, and, you know, because there's people on there that I may not know, quite a few, and then who are fans. So I just say, well, you know, I'm going to let this person on in your place. So get onto the fan site, you know, and like my page and all that stuff. So I'm trying to... slowly but surely, you know, shift things a bit.
That's good.
yeah, it's a lot of work. I don't have time for all that social media all the time. It's hard. It's hard when you're doing a, you know, an interesting, you know, developing a music streaming service and audio product line, and then all of a sudden you're going to go on tour with the Revolution again. So it's a lot of time.
Yeah.
As you can imagine.
Yes, it is. Man. Well, Matt, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. We'll see you out on tour.
Okay, take care.
All right, take care.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Guys, that was Matt Fink of The Revolution. Make sure to check out The Revolution. They're on tour starting next week. If you're listening to this on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also on your iOS device. If you've got an iPhone product of any kind, you can listen to us by going to the Stitcher Smart Radio app. It's available for free in the iOS store. Download the app, search our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview with Matt. We're also available to Android users. If you have an Android, you can listen to us by going to the Google Play store, search Google Play Music, search our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview with Matt. And lastly, we're on Roku. If you've got a Roku player or a Roku smart television, you can listen to us by going to the Roku channel store. Once you're in the store, just, you know, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture, download the app. Once you download the app, you can listen to over 200-plus hours of original content, programming, and interviews, all free of charge.